In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These introductory words to St. John's Gospel affirm clearly and distinctly that the Word, Jesus, is God, and that this Word is with God, yes, is God Himself. Nothing but faith can comprehend this. That faith is possible only by the work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit from heaven above can create listeners and pupils who accept this doctrine and believe that the Word is God, that God's Son is the Word, and that the Word became flesh, that He is also the light who can illumine all men who come into the world, and that without this light, all is darkness. Furthermore, we should realize that this Word in God is entirely different from my Word or yours. For we too have a Word, especially a Word of the heart. When, for example, we think about something and diligently investigate it, we have words. We carry on a conversation with ourselves. Its content is unknown to all but ourselves until such words of the heart are translated into oral words and speech, which we now utter after we have revolved them in our heart and have reflected on them for a long time. Not until then is our word heard and understood by others. St. Paul touches on this in 1 Corinthians. No person knows a man's thought except the spirit of the man which is in him. When a man has a thought, a word, or a conversation within himself, he speaks to himself incessantly and is full of words that suggest counsel as to what to do or not to do. He continually converses and deliberates within himself. Thus God, too, from all eternity has a word, a speech, a thought, or a conversation with himself in his divine heart, unknown to angels and men. This is called his word. From eternity he was within God's paternal heart, and through him God resolved to create heaven and earth. But no man was aware of such a resolve until that word became flesh and proclaimed this to us. But just as God, the Lord and Creator of all creatures, is immeasurably superior to poor, miserable man who is earth and dust, so there is an immeasurably wide gulf between the thoughts, discussions, and words of the human heart and those of God. For God is not created or made as we human beings are. He is from all eternity. No one has given him his speech, his word, or his conversation. What he is of himself from eternity. But whatever we are, we receive from him and not from ourselves. He alone has everything from himself. So let us further consider that word that was at the beginning of time. As the Holy Spirit records in the first chapter of Genesis, let there be light. These words are incomprehensible to any human reason or wisdom, no matter how profound. Therefore, we dare not consult reason here, but we must honor the Holy Spirit by believing his words and accepting them as divine truth. To this end, the eyes of reason must be blinded, yes, gouged out. Many and various heretics have stormed against this article and have attempted to fathom, comprehend, and master it with their reason, but they have perished in this attempt. The Holy Spirit has defended this article against them all, as God's word continues to stand its ground against the very gates of hell. John the Evangelist does not have a word in mind, such as emerges from my mouth, flits into the air and soon fades out, an ordinary simple word, nor is he thinking of a word such as my heart addresses to me, which, to be sure, is greater and superior to the external word. The word of the heart is larger than the external word. the word of the heart is often so big that it occupies the entire heart and is at the same time incapable of expression. For it is impossible for a man to fully voice the thoughts of his heart. Now, if it is true that I cannot fully express the thoughts of my heart, how many thousand times less will it be possible for me to understand or express the word or conversation in which God engages within his divine being, which he harbors in the shrine of his heart. St. John thus declares that there was in God a speech or word who occupied all of God, that he was God himself, that he had preceded the existence of all creatures, even of the angels. No one saw or heard him, not even the angels, since at that time they had not yet been created. Thus it must be a word or conversation of any angel or of any creature, not of any angel or of any creature, but of God himself, the creator of all creatures. This we here term the word, not an ordinary word, but a word that is as great as God himself. Indeed, the word is God himself. But when God speaks a word to himself or carries on a conversation with himself, we find that people refuse to grasp this, much less will they believe it, for it runs counter to human reason. For it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Once sin entered the world, man became blinded to this word. This is why reason cannot fully understand God's conversations. But God had another special conversation within himself. He saw that he, on his part, had to do something for damned mankind. This conversation was delivered first to Adam and Eve, then to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to David, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and now this conversation is delivered to you and me. Since reason cannot grasp God's conversation on its own, God, especially with regard to the gospel, decided to have this conversation recorded in the Bible. So you do not have to rely on yourself or your own reason to comprehend God's conversation. Instead, you can rely on what God has recorded for you in the Bible, what he has done on his part through Christ. God's word or conversation involves the death of his only son on the cross. On this we can rely, and in this we can believe. We'll close this chapel with the singing of hymn 271, the first stanza. 271, verse 1.